thing with headphones, right? I mean, they were like untangled this morning, and now we're in some wild world. What's your name? Sorry.
Jennifer Kenny. But my maiden name was Jen Strike, funny enough.
Oh, fantastic. Oh my God. Normative determinism.
Though. I know, that's why I've got to do the show.
Yeah, that's insane. Amazing. And then I'll just ask a really open question. So when did you first hear about Greenham?
So when I would have been probably just gone primary school age, just about going to secondary school, sort of that teenage formative years, and I saw them on the television. So, and it was the first time I'd ever seen women in that position of, you know, actually protesting, and people that were like, I was likely to know or likely to sort of come into contact with. And that was a really powerful image for me as a sort of teenager, kind of getting, you know, growing up, to see this kind of like women chained to like fences and just having that power. It was a really interesting time. I think it was quite a political time around then anyway. And my dad was starting to get quite involved in activism himself with the miners' strike. And it was then from there that I would then see women down at the soup kitchens and women at the picket lines and all of those kinds of things.
Can we tuck into here? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, we're actually just going to jump in if that's all
yeah.
right.
Do you mind if I hammer in around so it doesn't blow up?
I do not mind
yeah,
at
stool.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to take the stool?
Right?
Oh,
yeah, perfect.
You can sit. Then you can take the stool and I will crouch.
Hammer away.
Hammer. Are you okay?
Good. Yeah, I've got backpacks and all kinds of stuff sat on me. So.
Okay, so you were just saying your dad was sort of getting more involved
so he was a miner, and I remember him coming home and talking to my mum about what was going on. You know, you won't believe it, the government's doing this, that, and the other. And I think that's my first experience of sort of anger. My dad was very angry, but my mum, she was very calm and sort of trying to keep house and home together. So I think I even saw it in my own home that, you know, my mum supported what my dad was doing to a point, but actually ultimately the miners' strike led to the breakdown of their relationship and their divorce. So there was all this going on at home, and I wanted to support my dad with the miners' strike, and I really felt passionate about it, and he took us on picket lines and things like that. But ultimately it took my dad away from home a lot because of the going on the flying pickets. So it left myself and my mum and my sister, like a all-female household, which was interesting as well, not having that sort of father figure about. But yeah, watching it on the news, the sort of Greenham Common, I remembering thinking sort of how strong they seemed, and also having had experience of the police and the way that the police would sometimes treat. I was shocked to see sort of some of the jostling and bustling and, you know, the grabbing of women, you know, that was, and I got first-hand experience of that during the miners' strike, not that, but of police not being as nice as I'd been brought up to expect they would be, because my dad took us down to a picket line in the holidays. It was quite a quiet picket line. It wasn't like one of these really, really big ones, but he took us down to this picket line, and I remember my sister shouting to the police van came past, and like they sort of like slowed down and tailgated us a little bit as we were walking towards the picket line. And then they were like, what are you doing? Take your kids down here. These girls shouldn't be down here. And my sister, then they sort of drove off, and my sister shouted, pigs, after them. They reversed sharply back up the road, pulled up alongside us. And we were like, uh-oh. And the police officer leaned out and he went, oi, mate, he said, you shouldn't be bringing your kids down here. He says, if your kids get raped or murdered, don't call us. Call the effing flying pickets. And that, yeah, it was really shocking. And that, we were, like I say, I would have been about 12. My sister was 10. And that's the way the police were speaking in front of us. We didn't even know what raped meant at this age. You know, we were like, what? And of course it was just a horrible, quite a shaky incident, but it made us even more determined to sort of stick by what my dad was trying to achieve. which ultimately, of course, they did achieve. Yeah. And I remember also with the Greenham thing as well, like, not knowing what nuclear weapons were as a child, not really knowing what that meant. And I used to read the newspapers, and I used to have nightmares. I don't want to die in a nuclear war, you know. Because it was just, it was a really scary time. It's a bit like it is now. I see history repeating itself, really, because what you've got now is a lot of issues, a lot of, like, you know, the government is putting a lot of restrictions on people. And actually, it feels more fractured these days. I think the Greenham women managed to really sort of boister up all the, like, other women, and it was a really strong movement, which is why it was newsworthy and why it was on a lot. You know, you saw it on the television, you know, people, like, holding hands around it, and it was just, yeah. I remember thinking, I'd like to be there, sort of thing. It felt like a very passionate but all female kind of collective that I'd never experienced in my life before. And going back to the miners' strike, although my mum wasn't so keen on everything that was going on, I did meet lots of strong women involved in the miners' strike. The ladies that ran the soup kitchens, for example, we used to go down and help them holidays as well. You know, we were eating from food parcels. We had no money coming in, which again was a source of tension between my mum and dad. Also, my mum was working in a women's refuge at the time, so she just started to go back into work as children had grown up a little bit, so she had been at home, and she was working at a women's refuge. Well, the chief of the or the main trustee of this women's refuge was married to a police officer, and my mum consequently, and I don't know the ins and outs, but she lost her job, which wasn't very good. Yeah. So it was a difficult, you know, those memories. It's being a teenager and wondering where your place in the world is, and going like, well, I'm a woman, but what do I stand for? You know, it was a very formative time, because I was, you know, becoming a woman, growing up, and it was. I feel lucky to have seen that on television rather than what sometimes, you know, the TikTok generation gets nowadays. Although I'm sure they would be TikToking from wherever they were if that were the case. You know, I don't think it's the passion that's there. It's not necessarily how you do it. But just to leave where they were, and to bring their children with them as well, seeing children in situ in the camps, again, was another thing that I thought, wow, you've got families there, and it's not just a I'm not like my dad, just I'm going off somewhere. It's because he had to be, because it's flying picket, but like it was more of a, you know, those camps were set up, and it was more of a family kind of vibe, you know, with the little ones there as well. It's been fascinating to be a child of a Greenham woman.
And so, whereabouts did you grow up again?
I'm from the northeast of England, so I grew up in South Shields, okay, and then in a small village near there. So, very passionate Geordies, you know, like, yeah. And my dad, like I say, would fly in picket. He would go off, and he would do. He was at Orgreave. He did a lot of speaking. He got chucked out of school when he was 15. Didn't really get many qualifications, but he found that he was a very good orator, and he was very good at rallying the troops and bringing them in. He was very good at, and he got recognised for that, and so they wanted him to go and speak at rallies and talk, and he was very intelligent guy, despite not having, you know, having those exams. And after the miners' strike, he actually went back to university. He went to university, became a teacher in his later life. So, yeah, it's a strange old life. Yeah.
Do you think seeing the sort of the Greenham women on the news, and particularly growing up in a very political time, do you think that's had any effect on you as you've got older, in kind of led into your adult life at all?
Yeah, I think it helped me see the power in the union, sort of thing, you know, like the union of people, not necessarily just unions, but and I kind of seeing that women could do it, that it wasn't just a male dominated, you know, activism wasn't just male dominated. I think I feel that now as an adult. I'm a teacher myself, so I really try to instill in my pupils, the female pupils in my class, that sort of sense of pride in themselves, and that they can make a difference. I mean, we talk a lot these days about like climate activism and things like that. And they are very, you know, knowledgeable. Sometimes I worry about how much we expose them to, in the same way that I was exposed to knowing what nuclear weapons were, and not really having the emotional understanding of what that really meant. So it was just like, everyone's going to die and that's it. But then that's the same feeling the children have got these days, you know, with this climate thing. I think with my dad's stuff, I found it difficult over the years because it did mean the breakdown of my family. So there's a sort of double-edged sword there, and that's something to sort of come to terms with. You know, what would have happened if he hadn't have gone off and done that? But I think, as a sort of, you know, middle-aged woman myself now, I do think I still think it was for the greater good. And I think the sacrifices that the Greenham women made, you know, it got them noticed. It made an impact, and you know, I heard about it, and I was up in the northeast of England, you know. And I won't be the only one. So I think it does make me think, and it reminds me that I'm not alone, I suppose, as well. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much.